stay locked in and fully loaded.
Ashanti Radio
and Verkay Radio.
They said we couldn't do it,
but we global now, worldwide. Boom, in your face. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Peace and love, family.
You are listening to Young Men's Perspective Radio. We look to enrich, encourage, and engage our youth here on iHeartRadio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
We interview individuals such as Susan L. Taylor.
What we know is that failing schools are the pipeline to prison.
Jasari X.
We're the changers, and I feel like this generation is a generation that's really going to make change.
Dr. Julia Hare.
The best part of our action plan is to reclaim the minds of our children.
Dick Gregory.
Our problem is we think we're part of this government, you know.
This is Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Just gotta get in tune with your purpose.
Tune in every Friday from 10 to 11 p.m. on WWE 1100 AM on iHeartRadio.
Online.
On 1100atlanta.com.
I gotta tell you,
everything you're seeing, something's wrong with it.
Save yourself.
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
YMP is a necessity.
Your call-in number is
404-603-8770. Call in now. Young Men's Perspective Radio.
We here now.
On iHeartRadio. Your host, Jeff Hodges.
Today named you one of the top 25 most influential people of the past 25 years. Most people don't know what they're doing in the next 25 days. How is it you have such clarity and insight?
Well, I don't know that I have any. I go to work every day and do what's in front of me. I have a vision to be helpful to the planet, animals, the planet, and people. I'm a servant. I'm aware of that. I've learned that over the years. So the clarity is in every meditation. To be awake and to do what's in front of me, not to be moved around like a sheep, to be able to work from inside instead of the noise that happens on the outside. In other words, when you work from the inside, there is a clarity. And so I meditate daily and try to make choices based on what's in front of me and do what's right and have less fear and also less influence from the noise or the norm. That's promoted to everyone. In other words, the norm is to help abuse 40 billion animals every year and eat them and make yourself sick and destroy the environment because we eat them. As you know, you may know that the greatest cause of global warming by 2 times more than all the planes, trains, automobiles put together is just the cows farting. That's a UN report. That UN report is made available to everybody, but people block it out. They just continue to eat those cows and make them be born. They're not just cows. They're made to be born into suffering. The sexual abuse that goes into making them born, the abuse that makes them grow quicker, the poison that makes them grow quicker and give you cancer, the poison that destroys your immune system that's in them. All of these things go together as a terrible abuse. So if you meditate and you decide on your own that you don't want to participate in that, then you're alternative, you're different. But in everybody's heart, all the scriptures are etched. And we can just reach inside and we don't have to read the Bible and say dominion over the animals. And say, why, if we believe the Bible says dominion over the animals, do we abuse 40 billion of them every year? Or you don't have to, you know, participate in racist or homophobic or sexist actions that may be the norm in your community or around you. You don't have to participate in any of government may have to take on, or the selfish policies that you don't have to think it's okay. So it's ongoing, but through meditation and through looking inside, we all know better. It's a question of, can we do better? So I'm learning to do better, you know, as opposed to just hearing, you know, I hear so many things are wrong, and then people just continue to act unconsciously regarding their participation in it or allowing it to happen around them. So I go back to meditation because I go back to my own heart or what's inside me and etched inside me. Some people could say that's the presence of God inside you, that operating with that presence, with that relationship with God or that self, the higher self, it's something that we all are moving towards, whether we like it or not. We can't escape the truth, but we can fool around, we can play around with it, but we can't escape it. And I'd say it's very important because I don't know that people recognize their ability to change, their ability to move towards God. Some people don't recognize that, you know, taking that step. You hear it all the time. Your mother tells you, your father tells you, your preacher tells you, your rabbi tells you, your imam tells you, your monk reminds you. But all the scriptures tell us the same things. And when we deviate from them, we suffer. So my promotion to people is that your prophets are right. What they promoted to you is true. And that the shortcuts and what the world's promoting to you, if it doesn't align with what you believe to be true in your heart, then you don't have to contribute or be part of it.
Now, figuratively speaking, you have all the pieces to the Monopoly game, and I've brought up Broadway, but yet you remain humble and centered, which is quite astonishing. What's the driving force behind your hunger factors?
It may turn to dust any minute. Yeah. I mean, I'm just here for a minute, and I'm a servant, as each of us is. And I recognize the things that were given to me are not very valuable, and they certainly don't make me any more valuable as a resource on this planet. You know, people say, oh, well, I give away, you know, $10 million in charity. But there's a person who's working in the field administering the drugs that maybe that $10 million pays for to suffering people, and God favors that person. Now, you have to be able to realize, you know, that you're just part of a big, living, breathing God, and you're not separate or special, because that will allow you the freedom to have happiness while you're here. Anything that separates you from the rest of humanity separates you from your own happiness. And I'm selfish like that. I want to be happy.
Let's talk music. You have been instrumental in the careers of such acts as Run DMC, Jay-Z, and LL Cool J, and the iconic record label Def Jam. How can we, from a societal standpoint, take a hard look at the effects some say hip-hop is having on our youth, or would you disagree that there's any negative effect at all?
I would say that, like everything that expresses our reality, if it's expressed in a way that's inspired people towards bad choices, then it's not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. If it inspires people, or just sometimes rap expresses a reality that we know to be negative. It could be our sexism. It could be our racism. It could be our homophobia. It could be our violence. It could be our, you know, we have many truths that are not good. The poets are there to tell that truth. So in some cases, someone who's already on a bad path, if there's a glorification of negative attributes of our culture, then it can be hurtful if a person accepts it as such. Many times, it just points out, lots of times, it points out a reality that people live in that's negative, and it doesn't advocate for it. In other words, lots of times they talk about drug dealing, and they say it's the only choice, you know, and it can be perceived in many ways. It really is the individual that has to make it. But when they talk about, you know, frivolous sexual pursuit as being the most fun thing in the world, then it kind of justifies, it kind of clarifies, makes it okay for everyone to go ahead and do it. not saying. Not saying what normal movies, G-rated movies are saying. They're saying what everybody else is saying. But they don't, most times, a lot of rap music that expresses our truth, it points to what is hurtful about it as much as it points to what its reality is. I don't think rappers are more sexist than the next preacher. I always say this, I don't think they're more racist than their parents. I don't think they're more homophobic, certainly not more homophobic than the norm of society. And they certainly are not more gangster than our government.
Exactly.
So that's just, you know, our reality. Now, it is true, some rappers come from very difficult places, and they talk about it as if it's something to brag about. They talk about the bad parts of the society that they come from as if they're bragging about. You know, if that's their truth, and they're saying their truth, they're poets, they have every right to do so. I would never stop one from doing it. I would ask them, can't they explain to us why they feel a certain way? I would do that years ago. I remember making records and telling the South Central Cartel, explain why you say in Gats we trust. And they went on to talk about how they didn't trust the police. They didn't trust they didn't trust much of anything. And they made it very clear, and you understood the mindset much better. And it didn't glorify it. It just made it seem that, you know, the kind of hopelessness that really did exist in some members of their community, including themselves, I guess.
Now, you have invested and emerged with all sorts of leading industry ventures. What's your formula for adding a new business to your entrepreneurial portfolio?
It takes a long time to convince me to go to business, and it usually takes a long time for that business to come to fruition. I don't like to get involved in new businesses because they take forever to develop and because they take a lot of time. You have to be very clear how much you love what you're doing. My new digital solutions company, I invested because this woman was so brilliant, but I knew that no matter how brilliant she was to run the company, narrative it's called. Narrative is going to take a lot of work for me, and it's going to take a long time to really become the company the big successful company that it will eventually become. My financial service company took 5 years to be successful. No one knew what it was when we did it. No one had ever heard of it. This idea that I loan my name to a company is crazy. I built an industry. We were first. Nice and American Express is in it. Nice and Chase Manhattan is doing it. It's great that other companies are doing it. We were first. No one even understood what we were doing. They're just now understanding it 8 years later.
I, too, am present for peace and support an initiative such as the Peacekeepers and Captain Dennis Ben Harmon has created and created some backlash for you. Talk about why you decided to become a major part of this worldwide initiative and why you believe you were recently criticized for doing so.
What am I criticized about? Tell me which criticism I got now.
Well, there was an article where I read they spoke about the fact that he being an ex-felon, and you also mentioned Chaz, which is from my neighborhood, who was also a bank robber and ex-felon himself that's involved. And they kind of just was coming at you and kind of clouding the issue. I believe it had something to do with something along the lines of another issue in all itself.
Which issue, that major Islam?
Yes.
I mean, no one will ever fix their mouth and call me an anti-Semite because I work to bridge people together. I love Minister Farrakhan, and I love the work that Nation of Islam does in our community. And I love what they've done to change the lives of so many African-American men over the years. And I love Captain Dennis and the work that he does. So I didn't even know about the criticism, nor do I even give it any, you know, light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing to me, the criticism. I love what Captain Dennis is doing. I mean, we don't want to have any thing separate us from all the support we can get, whether it's monetary support or foundation support, collaborations. So we operate. We do have support from members of the Nation of Islam all over the country. It's useful. It's very useful. Because, you know, the men from the Nation, a lot of them are expelled. And they've become found again men. work every day and try to take care of their families. In some cases, when they hit the street, to help us to speak to gang members or really difficult elements in the community, they know those community members. They're not afraid of them. Sometimes they get the church out on the block and they judge and they don't. There's many times, not all times, they get out in the street and they don't really have a relationship with the street kids. I'm an ex-gang member. I see the street. You know, I don't feel separate from them. I feel like I am them. I don't judge them because I was them, you know, in terms of their condition that they're living and the mindset that they carry. I understand it. A lot of the members of the Nation of Islam are the same kind of, you know, characters who reformed from some of the actions that these kids take, and they can understand the mindset enough to really relate to them. And so the Nation of Islam is very helpful in the street, where lots of other, more judgmental figures in the community, or maybe cleaned up, but maybe never were dirty.
Right.
You know, so I think it's better to work with ex-cons. It's better to, people who love their community can come from anywhere. But people who love their community and are really qualified to clean it up are more likely to come from the prison or from the struggle themselves.
The census in the poetry community is that the climate is right for you to bring back Deaf Poetry Jam. People are fed up with reality shows, even though the ratings would suggest otherwise. Would you consider bringing back this powerful instrument of expression?
Well, we're doing something called ADD, All Deaf Digital, and we're doing a lot of poetry on that. It's going to launch very soon, and it'll probably turn into something much bigger. We're going to build a whole poetry community right now.
Okay. Now, among your many accomplishments, you're also an author. Let's talk about your most recent best-selling book, Super Rich, Inside and Out. You discuss the power of inward strength and reflection as a means of achieving human aspiration. Elaborate on what you're trying to convey to your readers.
To say that the idea of Super Rich is about the state of needing nothing, the state of consciousness. I couldn't say taqwa is what Muslims call it, or I couldn't say Christ consciousness, or I couldn't say nirvana that the Buddhists refer to, or I couldn't say samadhi, what the yogis refer to, although this is, whole book is based in yogic philosophy. Every religious figure that ever walked, created a real big movement, was close to or realized that such a mystical space existed, enlightenment. Heaven on earth, or Christ consciousness, is an idea promoted by all the prophets. So super rich is a state of needing nothing, operating from a place of pure presence and awareness, and so the book is about, and Jesus taught two servants, because it is a prosperity book, one that good givers are great getters. He taught that to the masses. That way they can pay the Romans their taxes on time. But he taught his disciples, give without expectation. And those people really made money, and they had no problem to Romans and taxes either. So that's the real gift, to give without, so super rich. My brother, the prosperity preacher, he told me he must teach the first sermon because people have taxes and bills and they need to hear, the masses need to hear that the great prosperity comes from, and you have to start somewhere, and starting somewhere that's putting your head down and giving without regard for a result is the long-term give without expectation. Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, you have control over the work alone, but never its fruit. But that to Arjuna, and then he went on to talk about what that meant. You do much better when you just give without expectation. You put your head down and do a good, because a good giver is a great getter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But worrying about getting separates you from the process of giving.
What a lot of people may not know about Russell Simmons is the depth of your social activism. Share with us the particular types, ranging from PETA to the plight of animals and lending yourself to the gay community.
Well, I support the gay community because it's civil rights. If you're a human being, you want to give other people the same rights that you want to take for yourself. And so, you know, it's a plight. You know, many people in the gay community, especially in the black gay community, you can see it more than you can see it here in Beverly Hills. They live in such, they're treated so poorly in their own community that they never get to realize their full potential as human beings. It is so, it's not like the black community, the black community had the same plight, but at least they had each other. But if you grow up gay the Bible Belt growing up gay. You're trapped. You're treated so poorly. You're locked out of your rights. I mean, so you start first with legal rights. And look, even with legal rights, blacks still are the victims. Even new blacks born into some communities today are the victims of slavery. Because of the mindset, slave mentality that they still carry. The poverty mindset that they may have. So, there's a lot. So, anyway, brother, I want to talk to you some more if you need to, but I got to take this call.
All right, I want to thank you for your time, Russell, and I appreciate you for your wealth of information.
All right, I really appreciate you. Thank you, big brother.
All right.
You are listening to
Young Men's Perspective Radio. Young Men's Perspective Radio.
With your host, Jeff Hodges. If you would like to be a guest on Young Men's Perspective Radio, please email your bio, picture, and contact information to ympm.org@gmail.com.
Young Men's Perspective Radio. Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at YMP Magazine. So lock us in.
Young Men's Perspective Radio. Young Men's Perspective Radio.
And thanks for your support.
Young Men's Perspective Radio. 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 Young Men's Perspective Radio.
I just want to thank you, God, for giving me the breath of life. Some people take it for granted, when in the end, that's all we really got. I feel so liberated, and thank God for the blessings that I have demonstrated. Without the demon in my life before he penetrated, cause yes, I found another way and now I'm situated. Well, how I see things and what kind of life to live, and what I'm bringing to the table to support my rib. Cause in the end, it, all that matters is how she lived, and how she's gonna be when it's time to raise her kids. Cause it starts now from the day she was born, like a cub out the wild with a family torn. Show some love, crack a smile instead of having war. In denial with a grudge till the day you mourn. It ain't worth it, feeling so worthless. Be of the service, help others flourish. Get out the hood, go to school, we need nurses. We need doctors, need lawyers, have a purpose.
Life is what you make it. Have aspiration, be an inspiration. Life is what you make it. Congratulations, we are God's creation. Or you could be mad at the world.
You could be mad at the world.
It's all a choice when you're living your life right, whether you boy or girl.
Yeah, boy or girl.
As dreams become reality, just picture this big old world.
It is big old world.
And understand it, and I'm sure you'll see what God meant for you to be. You can be. Cause there's a lot of opportunities. Stop the violence and the hate in the communities. We can make a difference, and it starts with you and me. And how we treat each other, how we raise our families. How we are as fathers, do we have some apathy? For the future, my only care is my after me. Cause all I care is that Nevaeh lives so happily. And takes a different road, daddy had his travesties. So when it's time, let her know there ain't no majesty. And beauty ain't about being in no pageantry. So Call of Duty, send you out, don't be asking me to ever war for my country, cause I don't agree. I don't believe if you're innocent, cop a plea. Sitting in jail, reminiscing what it used to be. I believe in freedom and the right to be free. I believe in you, just believe in me.
Life
is what you make it. Have aspiration, be an inspiration.
Life
is what you make it. Congratulations, we are God's creation. Or you could be mad at the world.
You could be mad at the world.
It's all a choice when you're living your life right, whether you boy or girl.
Yeah, boy or girl.
As dreams become reality, just picture this big old world.
It is big old world.
And all that's in it, and I'm sure you'll see what God meant for you to be. You can be.
When you're living your life right, whether you boy or girl,
yeah,
boy or girl. Yes, dreams become reality. Just picture this big old world,
this big old world.
And understand it, and I'm sure you'll see what God meant for you to be. You can be.
Hi, this is Sally Williams with Urban Outreach. Around 8 years ago, I made the decision to abort my baby. Over 16 million African American babies have died from abortion. 16 million people that were created for a purpose are missing in action. Along with these 16 million babies are 32 million men and women who are wounded from the loss of those babies. I thought that after I walked out of that clinic that all of my problems from this unwanted pregnancy would be over. Reality is the baby really never went away. Physically, yes. Spiritually, no. I see her growing through the stages of her life. Abortion is not only death to that baby, it is death to those that are left behind that were attached to that baby. Life matters. We must value it, respect it, and love it enough not to harm it.
For more information on this issue or other life issues, visit the Right to Life of Indianapolis booth or Urban Ministries booth at Black Expo, or visit our website, rtlindy.org.
Every 40 seconds, a child is kidnapped in this country. Of those currently missing, 33% of them are African American children, and only 17% of those ever receive the much-needed media attention necessary to help reunite them with their families. Peas in Their Pond was created for just that purpose. This is Mobile of Indy's Urban World, asking you to please join us in our mission of helping the parents of missing children to smile again. Visit our website at www.savingourchildren.bravehost.com. Send us an email to hfmbc@hotmail.com or call us at area code 516-333-9882. Do your part. This affects us all because it's everyone's job to save our children.
I love to praise
him. Guess what? Have you heard about that Brother Reggie gospel show? He is awesome on his show. This show can be heard every Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let me tell you that when you listen to this show, you will not be disappointed. If you feel down, it will lift your spirits up. Spread the word and let others know to listen to the Brother Reggie Gospel Show on Blog Talk Radio. See you there.
It's fall at JCPenney. Time to refresh your closet. This Thursday through Monday, get Levi's lowest prices of the season on 514 straight fit jeans for guys, $36.99. And select Arizona booties for her for $35.99. Plus, save an additional 50% off clearance prices already reduced by 60 to 80%. And get an extra $10 off with your coupon. Hurry in now. JCPenney. From valid 10-5 to 10-9, Levi's and other brands excluded from coupon. Clearance selections vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. See store or jcp.com for details. Season refers to 9/27 to 10/18.
And I'm your host, Jeff Hodges, and I want to thank you all for taking this time out to join us. Today we'll be continuing our series with Words of Wisdom from Our Elders, a series of candid talks with some of our most profound speakers. Today my special guest is going to be Susan L. Taylor, former editor-in-chief of the enormously popular magazine Essence, and now the founder of the National Kids Mentoring Movement.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, all right.
But it's a pleasure to have you. I'm so glad you took the time out to join us.
Absolutely.
Let me first address the fact that the misconception that you have only inspired women, and just to let you know, you have been a great inspiration for myself, and I'm sure a lot of other young men in the community with your inspirational writings and your critical thought and the way you encourage our community as a whole.
Well, you honor me. Thank you so much. You know, I'm just doing what we're supposed to do. We're a community in crisis, and we have to step up. We have to stand up. We have to speak up. We have to work together. you know, I keep saying that these aren't the hardest or harshest of times. I have to say that to myself every day, Jeff.
Right.
You know, that these aren't like the worst conditions black folk have been in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad this is not, you know, 1700. I'm glad that I'm not in the hold of a ship. I'm glad I'm not working on a plantation. But I can live in my lovely apartment and travel with my wonderful husband and work for my community. It's a gift. And all of us, you know, most of us are in that have that privilege. We are the most privileged and highly educated group of black folk on the planet. And what we have to do is really link arms and aims and pay attention to the people who are suffering around us. Our community is taken for granted. You know, we've sent a message to the corporate world. We've sent it to politicians. We've sent it to industry. We've sent it to everyone. You can treat black people any way you want. You don't have to put textbooks in our children's schools. You can over-incarcerate our men and women. We have a million men on lockdown, brothers, and we're not outraged. So what we're doing is struggling against one another. And what I'm trying to do is work with communities across the country with my National Cares Mentoring Movement to write a new history. This is what I'm asking of all of us, to love one another, to begin to trust one another, work to stop the violence. Brothers, step up. Put your loving arms around these young brothers who've lost their way, who believe that they need to be thugs and don't see their genius. Help them to discover it within themselves. Let's not be afraid of our community and our young men. So this is really what I'm on a crusade, as you can hear, all across
Absolutely.
The country, just saying that we are not going to allow, you know, any more of our young people to fall into peril, not on our watch. And I just say, hell no, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. It's quite obvious how you are living life with a purpose, and if you can share with my audience the greatest lesson that you that motivated you in that direction.
Well, you know, I just got tired of hearing my own self talk about it, because that's what I've been doing for the last, I'd say, good 27 years, talking about the crisis in our community and how we have to do something about it, and all the articles that I certainly have assigned to writers to write about the same situation, and goodness knows all the conferences I've spoken at, I've attended, and have given. Essence Music Festival, looking at the critical issues facing our community, and what's happening. We are talking, we're writing, there are books, there are essays, magazine articles, conferences, and the conditions are even more deplorable than they were 27 years ago for some of us. And some of us are doing damn good. And those of us who are doing really well, we owe something big time. So that's what has motivated me. It's the fact that, you know, every day 1,000 black teenagers, kids, children are arrested, that AIDS is the number one killer of young African-American women, and that we have increasing numbers of our young men being swept out of our community. A whole generation has been taken away and incarcerated, and we're just talking about it. So I'm just saying I'm doing something about it. That's what has given me new purpose and young wings. Young wings at this time in my life, you know?
Okay. Absolutely. Now, all that you are you're giving of yourself and to others, and how has that process empowered you and keeps you centered?
Well, you know, staying centered, I have to work at that. And don't think I have it all together, because sometimes I lose my mind. My husband will tell you that, you know? But I'm trying to step up. Meditation in the morning. I think the wisest thing I know is this. You have to give yourself to yourself before you give yourself away. You can't leap out of bed and into your world. You have to really get still, connect with the divinity within you, connect with what is really important this day in your life. And I think we have to begin each day in a place of gratitude, because feeling grateful makes everything you have more than enough. We have to stop comparing ourselves to one another. And in the quiet is when all the answers come. We think that we get the answers in books and, you know, out there. The folk out there, they're struggling with their own lives, and you can see the mess that this nation is in, that our community is in. You can't trust half of our leaders. We are the leaders, as June Jordan would say. We are the leaders we've been waiting for. So you have to really be able to lead your own life. And you do that by putting yourself on your schedule, putting yourself on your schedule. We don't do that. Time for you to think clearly, to work out, you know, to take care of your body, to calm down, to reduce the stress, and then to put on the agenda the things that are really important. What are those things? That's what we should be spending our time and energy, you know, attending to. And every moment we have to ask ourselves, is this critical? Is this really important? Or we find ourselves doing what? Having conversations that don't matter, spending all day on email, you know, running to the mall, shopping for stuff we can't afford and don't need. Is this critical? How does what I'm doing right now help me to get to where I want to be next year this time? Mm-hmm. How does it benefit me? How does it benefit my community?
Now, let's talk a bit about your books and being an author and you speaking about shedding of the old dead skin of anger, bitterness, and regret, forgiving ourselves and others and opening our hearts to love and striving to live in harmony with the whole of life, just to name a few of your themes that you explore in your inspirational writings. I mean, where do you draw this insight from?
I think from my own challenges and from the challenges that people let me know that they have, you know. Forgiveness is not my issue, but it's an issue for so many people, And forgiveness is, it's one of the hardest paths to walk, you know. But you can't know joy when you're holding anger, and anger turns to bitterness. I think the wisest thing I know when it comes to relationships is this. Not that I honor it all the time, but it's that hurt people hurt people. When you are hurting and you're not healing yourself, you're going to hurt other people. Mm-hmm. You're not going to treat anybody better than you treat yourself. And that anger, it turns inward, you know, and bitterness really just, it's corrosive. And it only destroys the host. It doesn't do anything to the person who you're holding it against, you know.
Right.
And so look at people's, what I recommend is that we look at people's, at their soul, at their pain. When people treat us meanly, when they do, and there are some heinous acts of violence that people have committed. I heard a woman on the air the other day. I forget what city I was in. I think it was in Memphis. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe her brother had been murdered. And here was the sister on the nightly news saying, we miss, you know, she was crying. She said, we forgive that person. We forgive that person who took, I mean, that was extraordinary to me.
Right.
You know, we forgive that person who took our family member's life, my brother's life. Because nobody in his right mind wants to be a brute. No woman really wants to hurt a child or anybody else. It's only somebody who's lost his or her way that would take a life, you know what I mean, that would hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at people through the proper prism. If I have an issue that I work with, it's judgment. I'm a very judgmental person, and I want to not be that. And so I always have to stop myself, stop judging. Stop
right.
judging, you know, see the beauty in people, see everybody. We're all in different places along our path, and we're all, you know, trying to find our way home. That's what life is about, trying to find your way home. And the way is found most easily when you know in which direction you're going. And there's a wide path that we're created to walk. You know, and it's great to be a radio host or to be a writer or to be, you know, a publisher or to be a doctor or lawyer, to be your own business person, but that's not what God created us to do. We're really created to do one thing, and that is to leave our community a little bit better than we found it. God is asking one thing of us, I believe, and that is that we take care of the least among us. When we begin to do that, everything we need comes right to us. I am a living testimony of that truth. I want people to log on to caresmentoring.com and see what I'm doing with the National Cares Mentoring Movement. It's a call to action, a call to commitment to every able, stable black person in this country to put a loving, guiding hand on a young, vulnerable person's shoulder. We have got to save and secure our young people. We've got to help them to save themselves. And we do that by giving them care, by giving them love, by giving them guidance, by giving them our ear. Mentoring doesn't cost anything. It works miracles. And you can log on to caresmentoring.com, you input your zip code, and a whole menu of mentoring opportunities in your community appears. And what we need are, we need men, we need our brothers to really enter the lives of young, vulnerable boys. So that's what I have to say to you today, Jeff. I'm here. I'm trying to move on because my husband's waiting for me to. Where are you?
I'm in Macon, Georgia.
Ooh, Macon, Georgia. Yeah. My family is not too far from there.
Okay.
My family's in Atlanta. And there was just a conference. I think it's coming up this month. There's a conference taking place there on gang violence. Are you aware of it?
Oh, yeah, I'm part of it. That's what we're going to get into, the mentor piece. I'm a part of what's taking place here. And not too long ago, you met a gentleman by the name of Brother Kabila out in California who was part of the National African Congress, who brought to your attention about our organization, 7,000 Men, who we actually registered with the National Cares Mentoring Movement, and we work with three organizations here, and we have some interesting programs, and we're reaching out to the youth, as you are definitely requiring that we do as a community. And some of the things that Brother Kabila brought to your attention is how can we come together and network with you and your organization on a national level to doing this as a whole and bringing forth our resources and everything together. The things, as you mentioned, the gang violence that took place here, they being the NAACP, were initiating a curfew at one point in time. And we went before them and the city, and we sat down, and we got them to bypass that type of thinking, and then they went into thinking about the National Guard, and we had that type of thinking change. And we took an economical platform to the problem, and we offered the idea of bringing in green jobs and training. And Brother Kabila and the National African Congress, along with Brother Joseph, have been very instrumental in helping us present that here, and we said that we would make Macon, Georgia a pilot city, and putting forth our efforts and resources again so that we can show what we can do across the country. And that's how we began to reach out to you to find out how we can go about that.
Oh, man, that is wonderful. So Mark Fombi, you're working with him?
Yeah, Brother Kabila.
Yeah, oh, I know Brother Kabila. I just mentioned him, actually, to a brother in Baltimore trying to connect us. So the way that you work with the National Cares Mentoring Movement, our job is to recruit mentors for the vulnerable youngsters who you're trying to work with. So what we can do is create Macon Cares. We're in 50-plus cities right now, and in every city, the care circles do one thing. They are the voices for mentoring, and they recruit mentors. So that we're working for you. Our role is to find those able, stable black people who won't hurt our children any more than they're hurting, and to put a caring adult in the life of every vulnerable youngster. And then we have brothers and sisters who know how to train people to do group mentoring so that you may have... Say you may have, you know, 20 young men living in a group home, and we bring in maybe five brothers who work with them, or we take over a school. One of the things I want to see happen is we ask our churches. We have to encourage our ministers. A big church can take over a whole school and make sure that the children have computers and books and well-trained teachers and that the toilets flush and that the school is safe. They can do that. We have to make sure that our children have their history. That's why we're struggling. We don't know who we are.
Right.
You know, so this is the piece that I want to work with you on. So if you all can pull together, go onto our website.
Mm-hmm.
It's caresmentoring.com, and you'll read all about the National Cares Mentoring Movement. And then look at how you can join us. What you can do is just call the office in Atlanta, say you want to start Macon Cares, and we'll arrange for Tommy Dorch, who's our chairman and who's in Atlanta, and I'm here in New York City. If possible, both of us will come down for a launch to the community. We get the community to come out, and we talk about what we're doing and how we're going to save ourselves.
Sounds excellent.
Okay. You're going to be at the Institute of the Black World Conference, right, in New Orleans?
In New Orleans. That is my
plan.
Yeah,
well, you know what? Why don't we spend time there together? My husband and I will both be there.
Okay.
Okay.
And as I see in the chat room, Brother Kabila said he will be giving you a call later in reference to furthering our collaboration.
Fabulous. You tell him I've been waiting for him because I did call him last. I've been waiting to hear back from him. And I'm looking forward to all of us working together.
Absolutely. I thank you so much for taking this time out and being a part of our show. I know you're very busy, but I still appreciate the moment that you shared with us.
Well, I have to tell you, it's been my honor and my joy. And, Jeff, I really admire and support the work that you're doing, and let us just work together. We're not going to disappoint our community. We're going to honor our legacy, and we're going to do the work for this generation that a lot of people have written off. We're going to do the work for them that those who opened the way for us did for us. So it's my honor to spend this time with you on the phone, and I look forward to us being together later on this month in New Orleans.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
You are listening to Young Men's Perspective Radio. We look to enrich, encourage, and engage our youth here on iHeartRadio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
What we know is that failing schools are the pipeline to prison.
We're the changers, and I feel like this generation is a generation that's really going to make change.
The best part about Action Plan is to reclaim the minds of our children.
I gotta tell you,
everything you see, something's wrong with it.
Save yourself.
This is Young Men Perspective Radio.
You just gotta get in tune with your purpose.
Tune in every Friday from 10 to 11 p.m. on iHeartRadio.
Online.
On 1100atlanta.com.
We here now.
On iHeartRadio.
Peace and love, family.
YMP.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.